As we probably gathered this morning, we're thinking about worship, and in particular, worshiping God. So, first question, what is worship? worth worshipping, yes. So, worship, that's where the word comes from. So, God is the person who's worth worshipping. And what is worship? What's it involve? Yes, yeah. So, you come along this morning to worship, so what are you going to do this morning? We've done a few things already. We've prayed, praise. Yes, yep. So we're here for God today. That's what we've got to remember. It's not for us, but we're coming for God to praise him, to worship him. And worship is our expression of our love and our awe for God. And sometimes you find that a particular thing helps you with your worship. And I've asked a few people this morning to bring along something which helps them with worship. And the first is Philip. So Tom's coming with the microphone, Philip. So Philip, what have you brought along for us this morning?
I've brought my Bible.
The Bible, right.
Catherine brought for me for my birthday a few years ago. And it being a new translation, a very new translation, they finished about 4 years ago. It's in modern English, and it's very easy to read, and it's helping me to understand the stories and the history of the Bible and Christ's life. And by understanding, I can worship easier.
Yeah. Thank you, Philip. And Marion. Okay. What have you brought for us, Marion?
Thank you. A very plain cross, which was made by a firm in Wales called Signs of Faith. I bought it in the Christian bookshop in the town when it was there, and I bought it because, well, it's the whole symbol of our faith, isn't it? Without the cross, we have no Christianity. And you notice it's always an empty cross, because the Roman Catholics have a cross with Jesus on it. We celebrate the fact that he died, but that he rose again. And this is our main symbol, really. And it means, I don't sort of lean in front of it or anything, but I've just got it in a room, and it means a lot to me.
Yeah. Thank you, Marion. And Ron has bought a hymn book with a particular hymn in it.
One of my favourite hymns is "Forth in thy name, O Lord, I go," which is in Rejoice and Sing. This is all about following our Lord. Each verse has a different aspect of our closeness to Jesus. And the emphasis throughout is Jesus, and the words "thy" or "thee" occur 12 times in these 5 verses, from "forth in thy name" in verse 1 to "walk with thee" in verse 5. And this really does emphasize our closeness to Jesus at any time. I might just add, the words were written over 200 years ago. The music was written 400 years ago. But they're still very relevant today, just as much they were in those days.
Right, thank you, Ron. And Lily.
The readings, we have a Christian calendar up here. That's Christian calendar here, and this is the one for this month. And the reading is all, I've always, sorry. Okay, I've got it. The readings have always helped me. when Jesus came, the idea of God being with us all the time was a new one. But Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." We can see his love, someone who loves us all, and especially me, those who are great and those who are bad, the kind people and those who are unkind. And each day he will be with us to help us, because he knows all the days ahead, every day ahead. And this will help us a great deal if we really trust and believe him. He will never fail us.
Thank you, Lily. That's lovely. Right, and Tom. Tom's not quite sure what I'm going to ask him to do. Anyway, I ask him to get out the BB flag. And on church-based services, on family services, all the uniform groups have their flags, don't they? In the Bible, they talk more about banners, but it's the same idea, that it was something to identify a group. And the banners were used as part of the worship of God. And today in some churches, when they have dancing as part of the worship, and they would use flags as well, which they would twirl around. So it's all part of the celebrating the wonder and the awe of God, and part of their worship. Thank you, Tom. And then, Catherine, what did you bring this morning? What did I tell you? Yes. Not the flag, no. Something's with you all the time. Yes. Voice, right, that's it. Ah. And microphone as well, we hear your voice now. Yes. Now, Catherine, what do you use your voice for? In particular, to do with worship, I was thinking.
I do like choir and stuff.
That's it, you sing it. What's the name of your choir?
Children's International Voices of Enfield.
Yeah, and you've sung in different countries as well. You've been to Milan and sang in Milan Cathedral. And you went to Wales. Yep.
And St Paul's Cathedral.
And St Paul's Cathedral, wow. Yeah. And there's something very special about singing in a cathedral, isn't there, with lots of other people. Get a real feeling of worshipping God there, because you've got a big building and lots of other people singing with you. So worship can be done through music and prayer, it can be done through dance, it can be done through poetry, it can be done in church, it can be done at home, it can be done in the street. Anything done to the glory of God is worship. But there's one very important thing about worship, and that we must do it wholeheartedly and with enthusiasm. God wants the whole of us to be given to him in worship. I've just got a couple of readings from the Bible. The first one's from Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. Christ's message in all its richness must live in your heart. Teach and instruct to each other with all wisdom. Sing psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing to God with thanksgiving in your heart. Everything you do and say then should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, as you give thanks to him, to God the Father. And then Psalm 66, verses 1 to 3. Praise God with shouts of joy, all people. Sing to the glory of his name. Offer him glorious praise. Say to God, how wonderful are the things you do. Your power is so great, your enemies bow down in fear before you.